Welcome back, everybody, to What Would Father Say here on the Armor of God Catholic Radio Network. Tom McNew here with Father John Gesualdo. Father, thanks for joining us again.
My pleasure, my pleasure.
Folks,
Always enjoying.
we got into a very controversial of a contentious topic last week, and that's the topic of homosexuality. And as you can imagine, Father John has a lot more to say about the subject. And so I know that comes as a shock to many of the folks over at St. Luke that you have a lot more to say about anything. But since, the whole point of this show is what would Father say and not what would Tom say,
Not what
we're going to continue our conversation this week about homosexuality. If you missed last week's episode, it's up on our website, armorofgodradio.com. Click on that schedule tab, and that'll lead you to all of our episodes of What Would Father Say? And you can pick all those up, listen to all of them. You can go back and listen to all of our discussion of about our nine contentious topics or any of the things that Father has said up to this point. So, Father,
Help us.
just to kind of reset from last week, we got into kind of the church's call for chastity, and really it's a call for all of us, not just for our brothers and sisters who are experiencing same-sex attraction. And you kind of left us with a story of a young of a gentleman that approached you and was telling you a story about a young man that can I call you daddy? And so I think we want to I think maybe we need to spend just a moment talking about, we spend a lot of time talking about males, and I don't think it's fair for us to leave our females out of the conversation, because as you alluded to last week, they kind of perpetuate some of the male problems.
Yeah, we can talk about that. Now, I'll go ahead and say up front, most of my work with courage and encourage, well, courage is with men. Homosexuality and same-sex attraction is more prominent in men than women, for various reasons. Now, more women deal with gender identity, especially our young women, but that's for a different one. But let me go ahead and say that there's some similarities. Much of it goes back to a failure to bond with the same sex parent. Oftentimes, women, girls, don't do that. And it's also maybe they bond with their father or for different reasons. But I will say this up front. Female same-sex attraction is, like all things women, female, is m but much more complicated. Their relationships are complicated. If I can recommend a book, it's by Janelle Hallman. It's called The Heart of Female Same-Sex Attraction, a comprehensive counseling resource by Janelle Hallman. I say this because this particular book, as all the books that I have dealing with the Christian view of same-sex attraction, almost all of them have been banned from Amazon. You can't get them on Amazon. I have one here by Joseph Nicolosi called A Parent's Guide to Preventing Homosexuality. That's not on Amazon, as far as I know. But female same-sex attraction is different because oftentimes, not so much sexual as it is relational. They become enmeshed. Also, when you have, let's say you have a young girl whose mother is in an abusive relationship. And I know people have seen this, so I'm going to use this image. Mothers, and so they see their mother sometimes with their father or the men in the house being abusive. And so they equate femininity with being vulnerable. Men are to be feared because you can get hurt. Femininity is not safe. So oftentimes, our young women, what will they do? Well, they'll cut their hair. They'll stop wearing makeup. They dress frumpy. They'll gain weight. They'll get some blue hair. They'll get a cap and put it on backwards. You've seen this. And that is an attempt to repel men. because being effeminate, being female, is not safe. The very idea that a man would be attracted to them oftentimes scares them. So it's out of fear. And so they take on this male persona. We call them butches. They take on this male persona. They'll start taking testosterone, where they start to sound like and look like men. And oftentimes they'll find a female partner. So this is what's funny about same-sex attraction for women. If you meet a lesbian couple, oftentimes one of them, if not most of the time, I know there's a couple of Milo Yiannopoulos and a couple other gay activists, or actually they've come, he'll say that lesbians don't exist. They don't exist. He'll say that you have a transgender woman who wants to be a man, who feels, and then she's with a woman. In other words, if you find a lesbian couple, one of them is not lesbian, because very feminine, and the other one, the partner, will be a very masculine, cropped hair, wearing male clothing, sometimes overweight with a backwards cap. You gotta have the backwards cap. And you'll ask them, are you lesbian? Because lesbians are attracted to females, but this person looks like a man. Okay, well, I guess I'm biased. No, you're a regular woman, probably been hurt by men, probably been hurt many times. And so this takes place, especially in minority communities where fathers are so often distant. And so they're with a person who's male enough, they feel safe around them. That's what it is. Women want to feel safe. They feel safe around them, and there's no chance of them getting pregnant again. But the truth is, the nature of those relationships are often enmeshed and violent. The rate the two men don't generally get gay men don't generally get married, but lesbians do, and they have a high divorce rate. It's unbelievable, a high, very high divorce rate. And many of their relationships are non-sexual. They just meshed and become partners, and it's always soaked in an ideology, very much soaked in idea of oftentimes Marxists, leftists, and hate, quote unquote, the patriarchy. We have to say that. We have to say that there's a political enmeshment in this too, a hatred of patriarchy, capitalism. All of that's part of it. Is it always like that? No, not always. But it's usually, if you look back at the root causes, it's a profound father wound that has to be healed. And there's ways of healing that, especially with, John Paul II Healing Center. They'll always say, bring yourself back to those healing moments. Bring Christ into those healing moments. Christ can heal you. The thing that can heal you, heal someone who wants unwanted same-sex attraction, is Christ, having a profound encounter with him, and he will heal that wound, and then slowly they'll come out of it. Now, the ex-gay movement and the detransition movement, they're silenced by the media. I have a whole book here. It's called Changed. I didn't bring it over here with me. It's called Changed. Testimonies of people came out of that lifestyle. They're not allowed. They're silenced. They'll never be on Oprah. They'll never,
Or the view.
or The View. They'll never come out and say, I was in this lifestyle. And I've been changed. And I call it, oh no, they'll say they were brainwashed, or something like that. If I can make another one, this is not so much, this is for people, anybody. I got a book here by Daniel C. Mattson, and it's called Why I Don't Call Myself Gay: How I Reclaim My Sexual Reality and Found Peace. It's out of Ignatius, and it's just about a guy who discovered where that came from, where his he doesn't. Daniel Mattson, Mattson, and it's called Why I Don't Call Myself Gay. And I like just I mean just the cover can tell you he is a man. He self-identifies as a man. He has now started to do manly things, have manly relationships. Part of the Courage Ministry is for the men who are in Courage to know that, 98, 97% of men are not gay. And why don't you have regular relationships with them? Be friends, go hunting, play sports, watch sports, play cards, talk about things, talk, and then that helps them achieve chastity, to have, because their relationship with the, if you go to a, you know, you go to the University of Texas Theater Department or any other, you know, the Harvard Theater Department, and you have two gay guys in the theater department, that's not a healthy relationship. Go ahead, you were going to say something.
No, I was gonna say, as you were talking, I looked up both of these books that you mentioned, the one by Janelle Holman, Heart of a
Yeah.
Female, Same Sex Attraction, and then this one by Daniel Matson, Why I Don't Call Myself Gay. And I just kind of scrolled real quickly through the quote community reviews,
Oh yes,
and these
hammered.
are these are so-called, you know, keyboard warriors and experts, I'm sure,
Yeah.
who are anonymous and hiding behind, you know, an avatar. But every one of them are just, oh, this is a horrible book, and this is damaging, and
Oh
it talks
yeah.
about conversion therapy. And I
Conversion
saw
therapy.
one time on the news, and just nonsense. But
Oh yeah.
as I say with everything else, you know, consider the source, you know.
And
A
don't believe, yeah.
funny britches from Connecticut who said this is laughably pathetic. She's probably not a doctor or a
Yeah,
psychologist, you know.
and even if she, you know, they can't, because if the church is right about sexuality, that blows everybody's whole life. You know, that blows their whole gender studies department would have to shut down. They can't admit it. And all they can do is call us names, and they know they're right. They know they're right, that we're right. And you know, I don't even have to use, they always say, well, you're just using the Bible. I'm sitting here with you today, Tom. How many times have we quoted the scriptures? How about
Zero.
never? How about never? Now, should we? Sure.
Yeah.
But we don't have to. We don't have to. I was with a lady, her son was gay, and she was mad at me, and I said, I wanted to tell her, you know, your son was gay because of you. Your husband was never around, and you're this overbearing, mean, you treat him like a pet. But I just grabbed the pen. You know, sometimes we have to get graphic. We have to grab the pen. And I said, see this pen? I don't know who made it. You know, Bic, who are they? I don't know. We know why they made it. And if I stick this in my ear, would you tell me it doesn't go there? Well, yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know what this was made for, that your son, his body was made for a woman, but he was in an other kind of relationship. And that doesn't go there. You know, sometimes with the teenagers, I'll break out my extension cord with the female and male plugs on either side. You know, you have the female end and the male end. And they go, and I said, if we, they're made for each other, look at that. And when they come together, oh my gosh, look at that. What happens? Electricity, energy, life. But if I put two female ends together, what happens? How about nothing happens? It's dead. It wasn't made, and their eyes get wide. They get wide. Because their common sense, their natural law kicks in. Oh, sure, we can quote, you know, Genesis 19, God made the male and female. That's Genesis 1, 1 Corinthians 6, 9, where it explicitly talks about same-sex relationship. Romans 1, Titus, all of those. I mean, Paul specifically talks about 1 Corinthians 6, 9, where he mentions in Greek the male and the feminine and dominant person in a same-sex act. He calls it an abomination. But if you listen to Brandon Robertson or, you know, anybody from the Methodist Episcopal Church now, well, you know, that's not talking about loving permanent. What do you mean by loving? It goes back to basics. What do you mean by, I said, this is a woman. What do you mean by
Define a
love?
word,
What do you mean by that? Is love is to do what's best for someone? What is conjugal love? What do you mean? Because they throw these terms around. Oh, love is love, just as long as you love each other. No, we as Catholics, Christians, philosophically and rhetorically, we can't let people get away with that. When we go door to door, I go door to door, some, you know, looking for Catholic. We'll ask, "Hey, are you Catholic?" And they'll say, "No, we're not Catholic. We're Christian." And I don't let them get away with it anymore. I said, "You mean you're a Protestant? You're a Protestant, right? Yeah, you're a Protestant because we're Christians too. You don't have, you don't have
Live
proprietary,
separate,
yeah, on that word. We're Christians too." You're a Protestant. Well, we're non-denominational. What does that mean? Well, you describe yourself as not something? Don't let them get away with it. Because we've just sat back. You know, we can look back on 60 years of the church, of the boomer Catholicism. Oh, let's just be ha you know,
It ain't
all are
working.
welcome, all are welcome. Oh my gosh.
Hate that song.
But I think, you know, one of our teenage kids said to our adults, you know, we're fixing what you guys screwed up. And I'm like, you're right. You are
Hey,
fixing what we screwed
unfortunately,
up.
they got a lot of fixing to do, and I think that's, society is making it harder, harder on all of them.
But they're starting to come around.
And I think that's
Young
really
people.
where the power of these programs like Courage and Encourage really lies, because as you said, they're starting to come around. They're starting to realize that, hey man, the stuff we've been getting fed for the last 60 years ain't right.
And they can go online and find it themselves. You know, God, you know, the internet is a double-edged sword. It cuts both ways. That's what, yeah, they why a young lady has been coming to us from another church. She goes, well, I'm interested in Catholicism because I've been doing my own research online. Whoa! I've been listening to debates and talks on my own. God bless them because we haven't done a good job with that. I will say, Tom, in the last, we only have a few minutes left. Can I say a little bit about Encourage?
Yes, please. Yes.
Okay, so just like Alcoholics Anonymous is for people who are struggling with alcoholism, have a group that holds them accountable, support, prayer, challenge, and accompanies them. Courage has a group called, I'm sorry, Alcoholics Anonymous has Al-Anon. So Al-Anon is for families. You know, maybe you've never took a drink in your life, but your mom and dad are both alcoholics. Alcoholism has a way of, has a ripple effect on families that go on for generations. Well, same token, there's a thing called Encourage, and that's for families who have family members who have same-sex attraction or maybe even are living the gay lifestyle, especially parents who are dealing with regret, sorrow, and guilt that their son who, you know, the daddy wasn't around, mom took him to ballet classes and protected him and treated him like a pet and signed him up for, you know, whatever. And so for them, for they have a little group, we have a little group here, and down at the diocese especially, and Father Joe Daheim kind of coordinates that. Whole families, I got the chance to talk to them, whole families coming together and just listening, giving them a place to talk. And it's much more serious than we have a couple of families that their daughters are not just lesbian, they're injecting themselves with testosterone. And before their very eyes becoming, you know, more male, they're growing facial hair. And they can't do because you can get gender affirming chemicals shipped to you for free from the Kind Clinic in Austin. And they're injecting themselves with testosterone before their eyes, their daughter's changing into a boy. How much of a torture is that, Tom? Would that be an absolute torture for a family? And so and Encourage supports them because my gosh, they need support. They need community, prayer, sacraments, and a way just to sometimes just wait it out, and you just accompany them, pray for them, keep the lines of communication open, know that God is working in their lives. And people who come out of the transgender lifestyle, homosexual lifestyle, the gay lifestyle, they are the greatest preachers of the gospel. You know, I don't know if you know who his name is Beckett. Beckett. He's a he was Catholic and be something Beckett. He came out of he has his own YouTube channel and he just and he just interviews people just like you know the Coming Home Network. They interview converts from the Catholic to the Catholic faith. This guy just interviews people who've come out of the gay lifestyle and just listen to their testimonies and their testimonies. Now he's been Beckett Cook, his name is.
Okay, I've heard that name. I've heard that
Now
name.
he has been demonetized. He has been attacked. He has been taken down. I got so anybody else, his name is Beckett Cook. He only has 184,000 subscribers. All he does is interview people who've come out of that lifestyle. And you're like, wow, because you will never see any of these people on, like you said, The View, Oprah, Donahue. I don't know if Donahue's, but I think he's dead. I don't even know. But on the mainstream, there's not going to be, no one's going to make a movie who's come of a man who's come out of this lifestyle. I always say, whenever they make a movie about with a priest in it, he's always a buffoon, or someone who dissents to the church's teaching. Those kind of people, you see Father James Martin all over the place. You see all
Father in
these,
air quotes, yeah.
yeah, fa and Richard Rohr, and Sister Sandra Schneid. I saw, anyway, you see all these leftist dissenting Catholics on some, but sometimes we have to thank God for our Protestant. There's another woman, her name is Rosaria. She's not Catholic. Her first name is Rosaria Butterfield. She's a Presbyterian. She was an academic, women's studies, leftist, living in a same-sex relationship with another woman. She has come out of that, and she's going around, and she has, episode 178, where progressivism hates repentance. This whole thing since Chilled on My Son, Rosaria Butterfield. She is awesome. My guess with a name like Rosaria, she was once Catholic too.
Yeah. Or if somebody in her
I think,
family was.
or somebody was.
Yeah.
But it's really no excuse for Catholics these days not to educate themselves and learn the vocabulary, and don't let the other side hijack. Gender is just a social construct. No, it isn't. Gender comes in the same term that genitals and generation and generate come from. They don't get to define it. This all led to giving our young people cross-sex hormones and gender-affirming, chopping off parts of their body.
And I want to get into that in another episode
Okay.
here,
Yeah,
but
yeah, yeah.
quickly though, for everybody who is listening and wants to learn more about courage or, for individuals or encourage for families, go. I'm going to encourage you to, pun intended. Go to courageRC.org,
Yeah,
or if you go
RC.
to the Austin Diocese website. And just in the little search bar, just search courage, or encourage, or courage and encourage. It'll come to the Austin chapter, the Austin Diocese chapter of those two programs. And so, I strongly recommend if this is something that you are facing in your life, either personally or you've got a friend or a relative that is facing this. Just like Father said, we own the language. We need to take it back, and we need to enforce and dictate to those that are trying to dissuade our young people and dissent or cause dissension with our young people and using correct language.
Because our Catholic faith has the remedy for these.
Amen.
All right, brother.
Well, Father, thank you very much, and we'll come back next week, and we'll pick up with this transgender movement, which is
Oh, my
closely
goodness.
related to this whole topic of homosexuality. And there's an
Yeah.
aspect you alluded to it. There's an aspect of the homosexual lifestyle and the transgender movement that is emerging, where they are diverging, and
Yeah.
we'll get into more of that a little bit next week. Right here on the Armor God Catholic Radio Network with what would Father say? Father, would you please leave us with a blessing?
The Lord be with you, and may
And
Almighty
with
God
yours.
bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
All
All right.
right.
Thanks, Father. Appreciate
Thank you.
everybody. And
God bless.
remember to put on the armor of God.